Well, we are in Nehemiah chapter 10 tonight. Promises, covenants. We have campaigns for elections, and it seems that it's a joke that whatever they say as a campaign promise never comes to pass. When we look across our nation and the number of divorces that are out there, and we hear this, it saddens our heart because these are covenants that they have made before God. And covenants are very important to God. And we're going to see that tonight. We looked last week in Nehemiah chapter 9, and we saw how merciful God has been to the children of Israel as they traveled through the wilderness. And over their time, even in the promised land, how the people, the kings, turned their hearts away from God. And then they would return when God was granting them mercy. And we get to the end of chapter 9, if you want to go back to verse number 38. It says, "And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes, Levites, and priests seal it." So because of what they have just heard about God and his mercy and how gracious he was to them through their many years, they are now making a covenant. They have spent several days reading scripture and hearing it explained to them, confessing their sins. They know what the law said. And they are now entering into a covenant with God. And it says in verse number 1, "Now those that sealed it were Nehemiah the Tirshatha, the son of Hakaliah, and Zidkijah, Sariah, Azariah, Jeremiah." And I'm not going to read through all of these names because I don't know how to pronounce them. I don't know anyone alive who has met them and can accurately tell me how to pronounce those names. But there's a list of names going all the way down through verse 27. All of these men were leaders, whether religious leaders or political leaders or leaders of tribes in Israel, and they all make a covenant. It is something that is not forced upon them. It is something that they are making a choice to do. It says in verse 28, "The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that have separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone, having knowledge and having understanding, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe to do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord, and his judgments and his statutes." And it continues on. But not just the leaders. These leaders have their names signed, kind of like the Declaration of Independence. You look at that, you have all these names and their signatures at the bottom. And that's a representation of people who signed it, but it's not everybody who agreed to it. There were people outside of that convention that also stood for declaring their freedom and their independence. So these are the leaders who, in a sense, signed their names, but the other people agreed and decided to follow. We see in verse number 38 of chapter 9, they seal unto it. To seal something is to put your approval on. Just like the kings would seal a letter. And when Jesus was buried in the tomb, and they sealed the tomb, yes, they closed it. But with the seal, no one was able to open it except for the person who sealed it or someone in higher authority than he. As they seal this, they're attesting to it. And if you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 20. 9, we'll be bouncing back and forth between chapter 29 and Nehemiah chapter 10. But chapter 29 deals with oaths and covenants that are made. And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 29, Verse number 10, ye stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, with all the men of Israel. And it's talking about them making this covenant with God based on hearing his law. And the leaders are there standing similar to the day with Nehemiah. And we see that in Nehemiah chapter 10, verse number 28 and 29, the rest of the people, so it's not just the leaders, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God. So they are separating themselves from the people. The people in Canaan originally were to be cast out. They were to be destroyed, gotten rid of, so that their worldly practices of worshiping false idols would not come in to the people of Israel. We have the Ammonites and the Moabites that were excluded from the temple and the tabernacle, but they're still around in the day of Nehemiah, as we saw earlier with Sanballat and Tobiah, part of the Ammonite and Moabite groups. So these people need to separate themselves from the world. And when we need to separate from the world, we need to have standards that are different, not just a couple decades behind the world and following their trends, but we need to stand strong to what is the truth, what is right. There are people who stand on both, who stand and have strong opinions on both sides of an event, and both can be wrong. And we see that in our politics. We see it in people. They have a real strong stance on some things, but they slack off in others, or they go to an extreme. And God doesn't want us to be extreme, but he wants us to hold fast to what is right and what is true. So we need to separate from the world. And in separating from something, we need to separate unto. And as you see in there in verse number 28, where they separated themselves from the people of the lands unto the law of God. They had to have something solid, firm to separate unto. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 29. In verse number 18, it says, lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. They are separating themselves from the world, and in verse number 13, they are separating to God, that he may establish thee this day for a people unto himself, that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. So they are separating from the world, separating to the law of God. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we see that the fathers initiated this. We need fathers today who will take a stand in the family, who will lead the family right, and the family will follow. Wives who are submissive, children who are in obedience to their parents. Verse number 28, it says, at the beginning, it says, the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, porters, singers, and Nethinims, and all they that have separated themselves. And then it says, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. It's key to have knowledge and understanding in decisions that are made, not just going along because the people around us are. Knowledge and understanding. I believe Eve, when she was tempted in the garden, had knowledge. She knew that to eat of that fruit was wrong, but I don't think she had understanding and the implications of what it meant, because it says that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. Adam had an understanding and the knowledge. He knew the consequences, and he chose to do it. So as the father, the husband. We are to take a stand for what is right. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 10 and 11, it says, "The captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood to the drawer of thy water, thou shalt enter into a covenant with the Lord thy God." So we see the men and the women and children are following the example of the father, the husband. We see in verse number Nehemiah chapter 29 or chapter 10, verse number 29, they clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath. It's important to have someone to help you, keep you accountable. As you make a covenant, as you make a pledge or a promise, having someone to keep you accountable is good. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 say, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." We need support. We need to be around people who will support us, to encourage us to keep faithful to our covenant. I know as a teenager, as a child, I would go to camp, and there would be decisions that are made. And you may tell it to your camp counselor, but you never tell it to your youth leader, or you never tell it to your parents when you come home. And no one else knows of that decision but you and God, and someone that you may never see again. And there's no one to hold you accountable, so when you start to slip, and yeah, you may bounce back, and then you slip again. You tend to fall away from those commitments that you've made because we don't have support. If you make a decision for God, to stand for God, find someone that you can trust who will keep you accountable, not someone who will just agree with you. Because if someone's there just to agree with you, ChatGPT, oh, should I do this? And it encourages you to do things. It doesn't dissuade you or try to say, no, you probably shouldn't do that. It wants to affirm what you say. We don't need friends that just, yes, whatever you say, we'll do. Or, oh, I see you slipping, but I'll give you some grace. No, we need someone to hold us accountable so we can be faithful to those covenants, those commitments that we have made. Husbands and wives, keep yourselves accountable one to another. They entered into, here it says, a curse and an oath. I was curious about that. A curse and an oath? Why are they entering into a curse? But the curse is the result of what happens based upon our oath. You know, there are several commandments that are given with promises. Yes, we have a promise if children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right. The first commandment with a promise. But you know, when we can make a commitment and an oath, what happens if we fall away from that? You know, God wanted the children of Israel to worship him and him alone. He wanted them to remove the Canaanites out of their land because of the dangers of the false worship, worshiping false idols. And so he said, get rid of them. And if you don't, something's going to happen. You're going to start intermarrying, and your children are going to turn from God. Don't multiply wives, he told the kings, because their hearts would be turned from worshiping the true God. And then God couldn't bless them. So as we enter into a curse, and an oath, we know that not only are we making a promise, but if we don't fulfill that promise, there's going to be some type of consequence. That's the curse side of what they're entering into. Verse number 29. They clave to their brethren, their nobles entered into a curse and into an oath to walk in the law, in God's law. So now we're getting into the substance of what they are promising to do. They are promising to walk in God's law. That was one thing that God, after Moses had passed away, God encouraged Joshua to be strong in the Lord, to follow him, to meditate upon his word, and God will bless you. It says in in Deuteronomy chapter 29 again, verses 19 and 20 and 21. And I went and lost my place there. Deuteronomy 29, verses 19 to 21. And it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. The Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant. So Deuteronomy is reminding that there is a curse if you break your covenant. Numbers chapter 30. Numbers 30, verses 1 and 2. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. God wants us to keep our promises. Deuteronomy 23, 21 to 23. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be a sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. God is saying here, if you make a vow, you are obligated to keep it. It is better not to make a vow and strive to do it than to utter it and fail. He's not saying don't make a vow, but take those vows seriously. Back to Joshua chapter 1. I'll read those verses. Joshua 1 verses 6 says, Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Continue to walk in God's law. It's a good thing to make a covenant or a commitment to walk in God's law. And the best way to keep that is to be in God's word on a daily basis, meditating on it, reading it. These people here in the day of Nehemiah had neglected their time in God's word for many years, and they've just been reintroduced to the law. And they love to hear from God. They want to be faithful to him. we have in verse number 30 of Nehemiah chapter 10, or no, verse number 29, it says, keep the law, to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God. And then it says, to observe to do all the commands of the Lord our Lord, and his judgments, and his statutes. So the law composes many different types of things. It's kind of like the blanket statement, but we have commandments from God. Here's what you need to do as you interact with people around you. Moral laws. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not, thou shalt. And we know those. Those are the commandments. But he also says judgments here. Judgments is how we judge things and the consequences. You know, we have the punishments or consequences of our bad actions. We have the blessings of those good actions. So we need to be faithful to the commandments, to the judgments, and finally to the statutes. The statutes here are dealing with God's, or worshiping God. You know, when we look at how to offer a sacrifice, how the people are supposed to come clean if they have leprosy, or how to present themselves before, as the high priest would come before God for the Day of Atonement and different things. Those are statutes, how we behave with religious matters. So they said they will keep the commandments, the judgments, and the statutes. We see in verse number 30, they would not give our daughters, or that we would not give our daughters unto the people of the land, nor take their daughters for our sons. Exodus chapter 34, verses 11, starting in verse 11, Exodus 34, verse 11, says, Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite. And it continues on in verse number 15, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. And thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters to go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. God says, stay away from the Canaanites. Don't participate in things with them. We can develop relationships with the unsaved, and we need to, but we need to be careful in what our involvement is. You know, we can have friends, bring them over to our house, have an opportunity to share the gospel with them, to encourage them in the right way. But then they may want to return the favor and say, come over to our house, we're having a party, and you know there are things there that shouldn't be. And we have to refrain ourselves from going, because if we give in and we develop close relationships, our children could develop friendships with their children. And we need to be cautious of that. So the people here in Nehemiah are saying, we've heard God's law, and we're going to make a covenant not to let our sons marry their daughters. We're not going to allow our daughters to marry the sons of the people in the land where we are. Another thing in verse number 31 they promised to do is that they would not bring, if the people of the land bring ware or any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell, that we would not buy it of them on the Sabbath or on the holy day, and that we would leave the seventh year in the exaction of every day debt. We're not going to purchase things on the Sabbath day. It is commanded to be a day of rest. And so they are going to refrain from that. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 10. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no, or thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. No one is to be working on the Sabbath day. You guys are to separate yourselves to have this day of rest. So if they come in to sell something, we're not going to encourage it and buy from them. They say in verse 31, they're going to leave the seventh year. You know, they've been put in bondage under Nebuchadnezzar initially, then the Medes and Persians for 70 years because they neglected the Sabbath year of rest. They say, we're going to keep the Sabbath year. We're going to be faithful. The exaction of every debt, they say. What is exaction of every debt? Well, that is forcibly causing people to pay. You think in Matthew, when Jesus is telling the story of the man who owed a great sum of money, and he comes before the man he's indebted to, and he says, I can't do it. I can't pay you. I don't have it right now. And the man forgives him of that debt. Then he goes out, finds someone who owes him just a little bit, grabs him by the throat, says he's going to force him to pay him or else he's going to put him in jail. That's what the people here in Nehemiah are saying. No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to force people to pay off their debt because God has been merciful to us. And he has granted mercy, and we need to show that mercy to others. We're not to be exacting usury on our own brethren either. So they're making a commitment, not just with their family to lead them, not just to keep God's law, but also to follow God's principles that he laid out and be an example to those around. So we continue through here. There are some additional things that they... Verse number 32. And we make ordinances for us to charge ourselves yearly with the third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God. Okay, this is something that's not forced upon us. It is not a command in the Old Testament. But this is something we see as a need, and we're going to do. You may say, well, they did expect them to pay money towards the temple or towards God, but not a third of a shekel, not on a yearly basis. There was the command in Numbers that when they numbered the people, all those 20 and older were to pay half a shekel, no matter how rich or how poor they were. They were to pay half a shekel. But that wasn't an annual thing. That was just when they numbered the people. And we don't see the command on an annual basis to give that. So the people of Nehemiah's day are saying, the temple of God, we need to support the Levites, the priests, and we're going to take care of them. And we're going to give them an equal amount, no matter what, a third of a shekel. We're poor. All of our money we saw in the end of chapter 9 last week, we've been giving all of our goods and stuff part of tribute to the Medes and the Persians who are in control at that time. We don't have much, but we can each give a third of a shekel. And they're using this to carry on the work in the temple. It says, for the service of the house of our God. Verse number 33, for the showbread, for the continual meat offering, for the continual burnt offering of the Sabbaths, of the new moons, for the set feasts, for the holy things, for the sin offerings, to make atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. You know, there are a lot of things involved in the ministry here that are not just the pastor standing up speaking. We have people who clean the church. We have people who mow the lawn. We have people who work in the secretarial office and come up with the bulletins for each week and the prayer sheets. We have people who take care of the children in the back, in the nursery or in children's church or in Sunday schools. And there are many people who take care of the flowers. There's a lot of things around the church that go on that we volunteer, we help out. Sometimes the positions are a paid position. They get a little bit. But the tithes and offerings given to the church help to support that. Helps support our missionaries. So they are saying, we're going to give so we can continue to worship as God says, with what we have and the ability that we have. Verse number 34, we cast lots among the priests, the Levites, and the people for the wood offering. So in addition to that third of a shekel that they're giving, now they're going to say, okay, we're going to make sure there's wood for the offerings. And we're going to cast lots to divide up, okay, this person this week or this month or whatever. And it's going to be on a yearly basis. This person for this portion of the year. And we see that in David, in the time of David, he set up orders for the priest on who ministers for what period of time. And that comes to play in the book of Matthew when we deal with Zechariah when he is in the temple. And he is performing his duties in his time because of what David had set up in the order. It wasn't for a full year, but it's for a partial. And so the people here in Nehemiah's day are providing the wood for the sacrifice. So the priests and Levites could focus on the sacrifices and the things that they needed to for the service in the Lord's house. It says, for the wood offering to bring it unto the house of our God after the houses of our fathers, at times appointed year by year, to burn upon the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. So they're doing this to fulfill the law of the offerings and what they need to do for the offerings. Then it talks about bringing the first fruits of the ground. The first fruits of all fruit of all trees, year by year, into the house of the Lord. Also the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstlings of our herds and of our flocks, to bring to the house of our God and to the priests that minister in the house of God. Now they're bringing in tithes of their increase, tithes of their crops that they would have. We see that commanded in Numbers chapter 18. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18, and verse number 8 it begins, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of mine heave offering of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire. And he goes on and talks about several different things in this passage that are reserved for them. We have of the fruit of the ground. Numbers chapter 18 verses 15 and 16 talk about how to redeem the firstborn, everything that openeth the matrix of all flesh, which they bring into the Lord, whether it be of man or beast, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of the unclean beast shalt thou redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old, shalt thou redeem according to thine estimation for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. So they're giving money for their children, for the unclean beasts that they're redeeming, but the clean ones they're offering as sacrifices. They're bringing, verse number 17 talks about the cow and the sheep and the goat, how they're to bring those in for the sacrifice. Verses 12 and 13 of Numbers chapter 18 deal with the different things that they bring in. We have the oil, the wine, the wheat. First fruits of all them shall they offer unto the Lord. Whatsoever is first ripe in the land, in verse 13, which they shall bring to the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it. So they are giving, not just redeeming the unclean animals and sons, but the firstborn of the cattle, of the clean animals, they're giving. They're giving of all their labor, their land, and they give it to the Levites. Then the Levites take a tenth of the tithes that have been brought in, and they give that and set that aside specifically for the priests. We see in verse Numbers chapter 18, verse number 26, Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. So the Levites are to give a tithe of what has been given to them, and that is to go to the high priests and to the priests. And we see in the day of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 38, and the priests, the sons of Aaron, shall be with the Levites. When the Levites take tithes, and the Levites shall bring up of the tithes unto the house of our God, to the chambers and to the treasure house. So they're making a commitment. We're going to walk in God's law. We're going to keep his ordinances and statutes and judgments. We're going to keep our children from intermarrying with the people around us. And we're going to give to the church, to the sanctuary, to the temple, to continue on the ministry. And even those Levites will give of their tenth to the priests. This is the covenant that we are making with God. And we know, because we've just read through the law, these men during the day of Nehemiah, they've just heard the law read. They know the accountability they have towards God. They've seen when they've neglected the keeping of the law. They just read in chapter 9 about how the people turned from God and God had to bring punishment on them. They recognize God is faithful and they need to serve him and they need to be faithful. They've made this covenant and they don't want to forsake God's house. You know, we make covenants, maybe not frequently, but we do make commitments. Are we faithful to God's word? Are we faithful to lead our families? Are we faithful to give to the Lord's work that it can continue? Are we faithful to keep his commandments, his judgments, his statutes? Do we know what they are? God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to honor our commitments. Don't be afraid of making a commitment. But find someone who can walk alongside with you and encourage you to be faithful. As the people here in the day of Nehemiah, they did this together as a group. They could each hold each other accountable. Let's be faithful to serve God, to walk in his statutes and judgments and commandments, and to honor him with our lives. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are true and faithful, that you change not, that every promise in your word that you have made, you have kept. Some have not come to pass yet, and we know because of your history that they will. As we've seen on Sunday morning with the time, the end times and things coming, you've told us it's going to happen. We trust that it will. We look forward to those days when we can join you in heaven. Help us to be faithful with the covenants and decisions that we make here. That we would encourage each other to be faithful. And that we would honor you with what you have provided to us. That we would give to the Lord back what he has already given to us. That the work of the Lord, the ministry here in the church and through our missionaries, would continue and be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.